Shalom, this is Billy Brailman, the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We've been looking at the fact that God said to David in Psalm 27, "For your purpose, to you, God, for your good, my heart has said to me, seek my presence." We're coming to the end here. And God needs all the people in the body of Christ to be seeking His presence, seeking His face, and seeking His guidance. It's for His purposes that He needs Billy Brim to hear Him today, what God wants her to do, and then that'll fit in with all the rest of the body of Christ and their purposes. Satan, we've talked about, he's out there. He's out there with the vampire books. He's out there with the Harry Potter books. He's out there with the video games. He's trying to get people...
TV shows, ghost hunters, supernatural, other side.
Yeah, and he's using the supernatural to draw
wizardry,
them.
Wizardry, yeah.
But we talked about there is this part about seeking God that is keeping him in your thoughts. And that's why this book, Practicing His Presence, is so good. We'll send it to you, Brother Lawrence and Frank Lawback. That's $10. And we'll pay the shipping on this. Just for $10, we won't charge you shipping. You'll have to tell them that when you call in. 1-800-972-3447. Practicing the presence of God. It's about keeping God in your thoughts. Now listen to this scripture, Psalm 10:4. "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." So if you keep God in your thoughts, then you're seeking him. Now notice that it says he will not seek after God. It's up to you. It's your choice. You will seek God or you won't seek God. It's up to you. You can be one who wills to do it or who wills not to do it. It's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make the right choice, you will get the right seed. Your seed will be sown and you'll get the right crop. You make the wrong choice, you're going to seek after darkness, or you're going to not seek at all. You're just going to go in limbo and lay on the couch like a couch potato. And
right now in January and early is choices.
It's early in the year.
You know, that's what we do. I mean, that's what everybody does. It's a beginning and we make choices to lose weight, to quit smoking, to whatever. I mean, I'm talking about the whole world.
Absolutely,
everybody.
Absolutely.
And so that's why we're
Tell that
here.
Story about that you just told while we were off about the New York City.
Oh, well, the power of choices. You know, God says in the Bible, that he tells us, open book answers.
Yes.
Choose life.
I mean, it's all in here.
Choose life, not death. But it's our choice. Choose blessings, not cursings. Choose these things. And we've told many stories in the past week about Shelley, my sister. She chose... You know, Mom, I could have either went, she hit rock bottom. I could either went, what's she saying?
She said, well, I went out there to her house in California where they had lost everything. They had left Tulsa, so they didn't have a job
yeah,
there.
But,
and she had this little book, Practicing the Presence of Brother Lawrence, up on her sink. And it had dishwater all over it. It was a mess, but she kept it before her face. She carried it around everywhere she went. And she said, Mother, I had a choice.
Yeah.
I could either go deeper into God or I could go crazy. So I'm using this little book as my crutch, you might say, to keep my mind on God.
You know, it comes down to the power of choice. And I was preaching in New York City, and they gave me, it was either the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, but it was an article in there about two brothers and the extremes of their profession or their lives. One of them was living in a cardboard box, alcoholic, dying on the streets of New York. The other one was a multimillionaire. Businessman in New York, and they interviewed him, and they interviewed the brother who was living on the streets in a cardboard box, alcoholic, dying on the streets of New York. Why are where you're at? What brought you here? What's the reason? He said, I'll tell you why, and here was his reason. Because of my no good father, who was an alcoholic, who abused my mother and abused us kids. That's why. And so what was interesting is when they interviewed the other brother who was successful, they said, why are where you're at? You're successful, multimillionaire. He said, I'll tell you why. And he gave the same exact answer. And they didn't know what answers. The brothers didn't. He said, I'll tell you why I'm here. Because of my no good father, who was an alcoholic, who abused us kids and my mother and that. Well, what I saw out of that was both of them was dealt a bad hand. Bad situations had happened. It had come in, the enemy had come in, whatever, and hurt that family and those kids. But those two brothers made different choices. And one chose to use these as a crutch, use these as an excuse, and it took him further. It's like, Shelley, I could have chose to just go crazy, lose it all, or I could have chose to get deeper with God. Well, the other brother says, I just chose to not be that way. I chose not to let that be an excuse. And you know what? There are people out there listening right now, and there's some bad things that have happened to you.
Sure.
Bless your hearts. God loves you. God loves the people who did the bad things to you.
Sure.
But you've been using that as, and the devil has used that as a trap to get offended, and you've made the wrong choices. You need to choose to get deeper in God.
That's
choose
right.
to seek God.
Today.
It's the power of choice right now in January. You don't have to choose to have your life go further, worse than it was last year. You don't have to choose that. And the power of choice is powerful. You chose to, hopefully, to be saved, if you're listening to me, you know, and you chose life, good for you. But choose to do something now.
Choose to go further.
Yes.
Now, Chip, that reminds me here, because our chooser, I sometimes call it our chooser, but it's our will.
Mm-hmm.
Our will. And that's the strongest, most powerful thing you've got, is your will. Now, there's a great truth in God's Word, which when I found this out, it changed everything for me. And that's the fact of the triune makeup of man. He is a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He has a soul, and he lives in a body. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know it from this scripture. This is one of the scriptures we know it from. There are more. But 1 Thessalonians 5:23. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23 if you're making notes. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this tells us that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Now, we've been kind of skirting around this every day. God, with our body, we contact the physical world. If I want to touch your hand, Chip, put it out here. I'm going to have to do it with my body. Now, that's your body. You live in this body, this house. You have a soul. What makes up your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. You are a spirit. Now, if God is going to contact you, Chip, he's going to contact you in your spirit. My heart, another word for heart, spirit is heart. In your behalf, David said, Psalm 27, my heart has said, seek my face. But for David to seek God's face,
he had to make a choice.
He had to use his will.
Mm-hmm.
He had to use something in the area of the soul. You have to take your will and decide where your heart's going to go. You have to take your will and decide where your mouth is going to go. You believe in your heart and you say with your mouth and it comes into being, but it's your will that's going to make the choice. So you're going to need to make a choice with your will, with your mind, to hear him.
Like David in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. So he was talking to his mind.
Yes.
And he told his mind
what
to bless the Lord.
Yes.
Because evidently we don't know what he was thinking or his mind was trying, but whatever it was, he said, no, bless the Lord.
No, you're going to bless the Lord.
Yeah.
You're going to think about
and
the Lord.
And then he talks the rest of his body and all that is within me.
Yeah.
You bless it. Bless his holy name.
Yes.
So flesh and mind, I don't know. Maybe another Bathsheba walked by, a different one. I don't know. But he told his body, his flesh, and his mind, you bless the Lord, and don't forget his benefits.
And his mouth. He was telling his mouth what to do.
And he was speaking. Take no
you
thoughts.
You have to tell your mouth what to do. You let no evil communication come out your mouth. You tell your mouth what to do. Let's turn there in Ephesians. Ephesians is my favorite book of the whole Bible. In the front first of it, it tells you these marvelous, wonderful things of God. Now we're going to be talking about hearing from God.
What chapter?
Being led. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, the whole first three chapters has great and amazing truths from God. It even tells you that he raised up Jesus far above all principality and power, seated him at his own right hand, and he raised up you. But then at the beginning of chapter 4, it says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. Here's how you walk it out. Now, he's going to get down here, and he's going to tell you what to do. Oh, just read these chapters. It'll bless you. But he tells you, verse 27, don't give a place to the devil in your life. Neither give place to the devil. And then he tells you some ways you can do it. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. None. If it's corrupt communication, do not say it. But only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We have within us a Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about this tomorrow.
So corrupt communication grieves the Holy Spirit.
It makes him have to draw back in your life.
And we can't do it
We can't do it. Corrupt communication. Words you say. Don't talk badly about other people. No doubt words. No fear words. But especially, this is coming to me. I believe God is wanting to turn up the power in our mouths. And the Holy Spirit is the power. He's the guidance. He's the guide. We're going to talk about him tomorrow. We want to be guided by the Lord. He's going to guide us in our spirits by the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Now, he's going to be big in you when you start in the morning and you start seeking God. You keep your mind on God. That Holy Spirit voice is going to get real loud in you. How can you make him? And then it'll be such that he can turn up the power. How can you make him have to lower the power in your mouth by things you say? Everything. In consistency lies the power. Whosoever shall say and say and say and not have lapses when you're going to talk bad about someone, or you're going to tell a crude joke or whatever.
And we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit.
We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. He's the power. He's the leader. And if we grieve him means cause him to have to shrink back in you. We're going to talk about this more
tomorrow.
And
Jesus telling the disciples didn't want him to leave. What are we going to do? Because Jesus was the power of God. He said, no, one greater is
coming. Oh, yeah.
Greater things you'll do.
Get your Bibles tomorrow. Come and have them open to John 14. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Billy Brim and Chip Brim telling you we're so excited to look in this. The Holy Ghost. He's the one that God uses to lead you. He's the one that tells you what to do. And you surely in 2011 want to be able to hear him. This is Billy and Chip Brim saying shalom, shalom until tomorrow.